Good morning all, and a very warm welcome to worship here at Cults Parish Church. A welcome also, you've got, you know, two strangers, visitors already. David Searle is playing the organ for us this morning, and so welcome to you, David, and thank you. And can I just remind you to have a quick check over the intimations that are printed on the order of service. For anyone who doesn't know, I'm Jane Montgomery, a very, very old minister. We meet together to worship God. We meet together to listen for his word. We meet together to spark our faith. We meet together to grow in faith. So come, let us worship God as we sing to his praise and glory in the hymn number 129. The Lord is King, lift up your voice.
Sinclair and Karen Fawcett did a wonderful job organizing that. 206 pounds was raised for the Aberdeen Street pastors. So that's a great total. And thank all of you who came and made it a wonderful night. It was so much fun for all of us. My second announcement and intimation, which you probably don't need, but I will point your attention to the back of your service sheet where you can't miss our announcement about Holiday Club. There's an announcement for families, for kids to come along, but at the bottom for a lot of you, that's what I want to draw your attention to. Adults, we do need your help too. If you think you can volunteer one or two or maybe even up to 5 days of our holiday club, We have lots of different roles, either in the kitchen, just preparing snacks, where you don't have to feel like you're good with children or crafty. This can just be something that you offer as a service to us, but we do need your help to put this on and make it a wonderful week for our kids. So please, I'll be in the hall having coffee after service, so find me and talk to me, or my email address and telephone number are on there as well. Thank you.
Well, am I glad to see you? Because it's all very well playing with the adults and pretending we're all children, but I'm really glad to see you. And I brought someone. I don't think you've ever seen him before. Let's just find our friend here. Good morning. Good morning. Now, think about this. Well, I call him Emu, but he doesn't actually have a name. Do you think you could think of an appropriate name for him? No? No? Well, I did wonder about Beaky. Or, oh, you don't like that idea, no, okay. Well, we just call him Emu then. Awfully long legs. See, he's got wings as well, but he doesn't fly. So we're just going to call him Emu, are we? Right. Well, the story that he's going to help tell this morning is a story that all these big children here heard when they were much littler. It's a story about a raven. You know what a raven is? Ravens are?
It flies.
It's a bird. Story about a raven. And the story goes that this raven had been flying about. See? Flying for a long, long way. And when he stopped, he thought, oh, I'm really thirsty. Thirsty. So he looked around. But there were no ponds. It hadn't been raining, so there were no puddles. And he thought, but I'm really thirsty. So then he spotted that there was some water in a container that somebody had just left aside, and it had obviously held the water that had come from rain a good while ago. So he thought, So, oh dear, can't get there, but I'm really thirsty. Okay, what are you going to do then? Stick my neck down? No. Impossible. What's he going to do? Go on. He's going to put some stones and plop them in. And he's going to put some more stones in and plop another one in. And you know, it helps too if you even put some of the little stones in, because they fill the spaces. Plop. And plop. Now, do you think that's enough? Let's have a look-see. Not yet. So we have to put more in. And let's just go for it, will we?
Whoa.
Oh, gulp, 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 gulp. Oh, Now you see, the raven in the story thought, I'm going to stay thirsty. But he found something, and he found a solution to his problem. And by doing that, with big stones and little stones, he managed to get down and have a lovely slurpy drink of water. I should have sprayed it on you, shouldn't I? And the story is told simply to remind us all that there is nothing that can't be done. And in the church, we believe even more that when there's a problem, we can do something about it, but we can trust that God will be with us to help us. To help us solve the problem. To help us, very often, make things better. Emu managed to get some water when it looked like he couldn't have got any water before. Now, you're going to tell me I provided the stones. All right, I'm going to suggest that the stones stand for the provision that God makes for us when we're in a difficult situation, when we don't know what to do, and God says, look, try this. Now, we're going to sing a hymn which there has been much discussion about the tune, and I have decided that we are singing it to the old tune, because you see, I'm really quite old. And so it might not be the tune that many folk are used to singing it to. We're going to sing the hymn number 523, which says, "Hands to work and feet to run, which are God's good gifts to me and you, to..." What does it say? To help each other the whole day through. Because you can be the stones to help someone to solve their problem. So we're going to sing them number 523, "Hands to Work and Feet to Run." And we'll try them off.
Thank you.
And now let us take time to be with God. Let us pray. God of great and God of small, God of laughter and God of tears, God of confidence and God of fear, God of light and God of darkness, God of every shade of human emotion and experience, we come to worship you, for we know that in you, the wonderful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the one who promises to be with us in all that we do, is our only hope for a fulfilling life. God, we believe you to be our only hope, but so often we fight against you. For you give us the instinct to act as your people, but also the free will to decide whether to be obedient or no. And we so often resist you and choose our own way. We look at the problems in the world and we doubt your sovereignty. We feel helpless in the face of seemingly impossible tasks when you have given us a role to play, however small that role may be. We make choices in our personal lives that grieve your heart. We see the speck in another's eye and fail to see the mote in our own. We speak when we should be silent. We are silent when we should speak out. We drown out your voice as we amplify the voices of those around. Lord God of space and time, Lord God of unimaginable patience, Lord God who gave your Son Jesus to be our Savior, forgive us, we pray, and renew us for your service and our fulfillment. And now, as we meditate on your word, grant us open hearts and minds to hear your message, to understand it, and to embrace it, that your kingdom may indeed come on earth as it is in heaven. Hear this, our prayer, as we offer it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us when praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our scripture readings this morning will be read by Colin Weston. Colin.
The first reading is taken from the Old Testament, from the book of Ezekiel the prophet in chapter 37, reading verses 1 to 14, the valley of dry bones. Let us listen for the word of God. I felt the powerful presence of the Lord, and his spirit took me and sent me down in a valley where the ground was covered with bones. He led me all round the valley, and I could see that there were very many bones, and they were very, very dry. He said to me, "Mortal man, can these bones come back to life?" I replied, "Sovereign Lord, only you could answer that." He said, "Prophesy to the bones. Tell these dry bones to listen to the word of the Lord. Tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying to them, I am going to put breath into you and bring you back to life. I will give you sinews and muscles, cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and bring you back to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I had been told. While I was speaking, I heard a rattling noise, and the bones began to join together. While I watched, the bones were covered with sinews and muscles, and then with skin. But there was no breath in the bodies. God said to me, "Mortal man, prophesy to the wind. Tell the wind that the Sovereign Lord commands it to come from every direction, to breathe into these dead bodies and to bring them back to life." So I prophesied as I had been told. Breath entered the bodies, and they came to life and stood up. And there were enough of them to form an army. God said to me, "Mortal man, the people of Israel are like these bones. They say that they are dried up, without any hope and with no future. So prophesy to my people Israel, and tell them that I, the Sovereign Lord, am going to open their graves. I am going to take them out and bring them back to the land of Israel. When I open the graves where my people are buried and bring them out, they will know that I am the Lord. I will put my breath in them, bring them back to life, and let them live in their own land. Then they will know that I am the Lord. I have promised that I will do this, and I will. I, the Lord, have spoken." Our second lesson is taken from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 1 to 14. Jesus feeds a great crowd. Let us listen again for the word of God. After this, Jesus went across Lake Galilee, or Lake Tiberias, as it is also called. A large crowd followed him because they had seen his miracles of healing those who were ill. Jesus went up a hill and sat down with his disciples. The time for the Passover festival was near. Jesus looked round and saw that a large crowd was coming to him. So he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" He said this to test Philip. Actually, he already knew what he would do. Philip answered, "For everyone to have even a little, it would take more than 200 silver coins to buy enough bread." Another of his disciples, Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, said, "There is a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, but they will certainly not be enough for all these people." "Make the people sit down," Jesus said. There was a lot of grass there. So all the people sat down. There were about 5,000 men. And Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to God, and distributed it to the people who were sitting there. He did the same with the fish, and they all had as much as they wanted. When they were all full, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces left over. Let us not waste any." So they gathered them all up and filled 12 baskets with the pieces left over from the 5 barley loaves which the people had eaten. Seeing this miracle that Jesus had performed, the people there said, "Surely this is the prophet who was to come into the world." Jesus knew that they were about to come and seize him in order to make him king by force. So he went off again to the hills by himself. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. To his name be the glory and the praise forever. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. We sing the hymn which is at number 609. "Come, Living God, When Least Expected," and we omit the second verse. And of the Son, and of his Holy Spirit. Amen. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is found in all four Gospels. But it is only in John's Gospel that individuals are identified. And for me, it's interesting to notice the differences in the reaction of these individuals to the situation which presented itself. Jesus and his disciples had withdrawn for some peace and quiet, away from the crowds, but the people followed him. Jesus couldn't turn them away, and while ministering to the crowd, decided to turn this into an opportunity to teach his disciples. Firstly, we hear in John, he asked Philip, "Where can we buy enough food to feed all these people?" Philip, discounting the supplies that the disciples had brought for their own needs, looked at the crowd and was overwhelmed. At a quick calculation, he reckoned that even if they were near enough a village to buy food, it would take half a working man's yearly wage to buy enough bread to feed the numbers involved. Even if they had that kind of money, we get the impression that Philip would have been less than willing to spend it on this crowd of people who were interrupting his and the other disciples' precious time alone with the Master. Philip simply saw this as an enormous and impossible task into which solution he had no intention of becoming engaged. Andrew, on the other hand, seems to have started doing what he could. Just imagine him going through the crowd, asking them if they've brought any food, making them aware of the need to share anything that they had. And while he's doing this, Andrew comes across a little boy who says, "I'll share my lunch." 5 small rolls and 2 dried fish. Can you visualize Andrew putting his arm round the boy and saying, "Come on then, we'll take these to Jesus"? Apparently his walk through the crowd hadn't been a huge success. And Andrew was just as aware of the enormity of the predicament as was Philip. But he had done what he could. And what about the boy? Maybe he was wondering what his mum would say when she discovered that he had given away his lunch. But apparently something inside him had responded when he heard Jesus speak to the disciples about feeding the crowd. And surely he was as amazed as anyone else that day at how far his contribution went. Some say it was a miracle. Some say that when the crowd saw Jesus recognize the value of a few barley loaves and 2 dried fish and start sharing them around, some say then those who had bought provisions for their journey felt compelled to produce them and share what they had. If it happens that way, it reminds us that we too often miss the wonder of God's abundant love while we wait for a miracle. So we have Philip, Andrew, and a small boy, each reacting to the same set of circumstances in quite different ways. Ways which are still evident in the response of women, men, and children today in the Church of Jesus Christ. Take the question as to whether new life can be breathed into what often appear to be the dry bones of the institution of the church in the 21st century. If you're a Philip, then the task seems overwhelming. If you're an Andrew, then you at least make some attempt to encourage people to recognize their importance in the scheme of things. And of course, if you're a small boy, you're ready and willing to share what you have for the good of all. The Philips are still today muttering at how impossible a task it is to carry on with any degree of efficiency or effectiveness in the institution that we call the church. Evidence, we live in a society gripped by skepticism and individuality. We live in a society which sees faith as outmoded, or worse, dangerous. We live in a society which finds its meaning in material well-being and in human relationships, and which frankly sees no need for God. The task is huge, almost impossible. Tempted as I sometimes may be to agree, I'm rather more in the Andrew mould, believing that there are resources out there. And that if we can draw on these resources, if we can dissect the work that needs to be done into bite-sized chunks, then there must be small boys out there who are willing to give a lead. Friends, please don't let's waste time, or for that matter, tempt God by waiting for a miracle. Or we might find that we've missed the bus. Just like the young girl in Glasgow given instructions to board a bus for Mulgai. She knew where the bus stop was, stood in the appointed queue, and as each bus stopped to collect passengers, allowed it to leave without her aboard. For to her knowledge, none was going to Mulgai. Time passed until finally another person who'd been waiting at the stop inquired, "What bus is it you want?" And yes, there was both merriment and embarrassment when it was pointed out that several buses had already gone to Milngavie. Friends, it is that easy to miss the abundant provision which God has already made while we wait for a miracle. The secret is, as Philip discovered that day, not to be overwhelmed by the problem, but simply to do what we are capable of doing and leave the rest to God. May all glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to his Holy Spirit. Amen. And now we come to sing what is a very special modern hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. It is the hymn number 251, and it seeks to share with us and to ask for our response to God's call to be the people he made us to be. Hymn number 251. Worship God now with our offerings, and as the offering is brought forward, sing verse 4 of hymn 392. were the whole realm of nature mine. And now let us pray. God, we thank you for giving us this day, for the opportunity to worship in safety, for the message that you have given, that though we often feel helpless to communicate the joy of Christian commitment, you can use us in even the smallest of ways to bring the good news of Jesus. Show us, we pray, how that works out in practice in the days to come. Thank you that you have reminded us today that though our relationship with you may have cooled over the years, you can revive it. God, we thank you for those who have shown us the way. Thank you for your scriptures, which we have the freedom to read under the guidance of your Spirit. Thank you for parents and teachers who gently steered us along the path to faith, and those who challenged us along that way. Thank you for those who, by their example, encouraged us to see faith in you as a strengthening and enabling influence on our lives. Thank you for the church, which, with all its blemishes, inspires and strengthens us in faith. Lord, thank you that as we are faced with the difficulties of life and confronted by the problems of our society and of your world, we may know that you have given each one of us a role to play in alleviating and resolving them. Empowered by you. And so we come to pray for those who are facing illness, bereavement, unsettling times. Show us how to bring comfort and renewal. We pray for those who are facing difficult times in their working lives. Stress, demanding relationships, redundancy. Show us how to give worthwhile support. We pray for those young people facing exams and future education decisions. Show us how to understand and encourage. We pray for those who seem to have rejected your ways. Show us, dear Lord, how to accompany them back to you. Lord, we pray for your world, for men, women, and children persecuted for their faith, for those of other persuasions who believe it right to kill and maim in your name, for those who are refugees, for those who have to deal with mass migration. Heavenly Father, these seem insuperable obstacles. And they are far from our touching. But today we commit ourselves to practical prayer in supporting those agencies involved on the front line. Hear us, mighty God. Amen. Our closing praise is the hymn number 249. We've heard a joyful sound, Jesus Saves. There is nothing that is impossible with God. So now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon each one of you and those whom you love as you go to be his hands and feet and voices in the world. Amen.